Hello and welcome to the first episode of the Hollywood Hypothesis podcast. In this first issue, I'll be talking to my friend from across the pond, Mr. John Bearley, who is a contributor for Modern Myth Media. We'll be discussing the Man of Steel trailer and Superman in general. Enjoy.
How are you?
I'm good, mate. I'm good. Thank you very much.
This is very exciting. I really appreciate you taking the time to do this.
Wow, let's just jump into Man of Steel then. What a great trailer.
It's one of the best trailers I think it's the best trailer I have ever seen in my life. I mean, you can tell that they spent a ton of time syncing the way the music is synced with everything and just the way that it builds. I saw one of the websites that I read, Badass Digest, Evan Sathoff, the writer for that site, said that this is not a trailer, it's an overture. And it's true. I mean, it really feels like it's almost like a symphony piece, the way all the pieces fit together. And there's the music. Everything is just the musical score. We'll start with the music. What do you think of the music?
I loved it. I've just literally been listening to a fan site on Facebook posted the score without the dialogue. So I've just been listening to that for a couple of minutes. And it's beautiful. It's upbeat. It feels heroic. It feels like a Superman theme.
Well, it does. You know, I think that the way those, you know, those two piano notes at the beginning automatically kind of like tug right at your heartstrings. And then the way the drums kind of start to build to where there's that shot where he's like under a column of light and it's the of the drums.
Yeah, and looks like he's punching the light.
Yeah, well, you know, Josh Costello from Modern Myth Media said, you know, Superman punching lasers, take that, universe.
And it's about time.
It's about time. It's about time. Well, you know, I mean, you and I have spoken privately, but, you know, over on Twitter about how just what a slap in the face Superman Returns was to the character. And, you know, I was so depressed after Superman Returns, not only by how bad the film was, but because I thought, well, this is it. We're going to get, you know, two or three movies in this continuity, and we're stuck with this for the next 10 years.
Yeah.
I was just really heartbroken at the time thinking, you know, this is going to be Superman for a few years. And what a horrible way to present the character to audiences who hadn't seen him on screen for a long time. And I was like, man, this is a horrible thing for a generation of kids to think that this is what Superman is. Thankfully there were no sequels. But at the time, I remember just being absolutely heartbroken that that man, this is what we're stuck with for a long time. It's terrible.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I've been talking to a lot of people recently about that because now that it's all come up with Man of Steel, and that's a good thing about Man of Steel at the moment, and especially these trailers, because we've had some very good trailers. But everyone's talking about Superman again, and as a Superman fan, that's great. And everyone seems to be really excited for it, which is, you know, fantastic. And I've non-stopped just hatred towards Returns over the past couple of weeks because I just want people to know it's bad. It's a bad Superman film.
It's a terrible Superman film, you know, and it's so misguided. I just really don't believe that Bryan Singer, some of the decisions he made on that film, I think he just wasn't thinking things all the way through as far as the consequences and the implications of some of the things that he did. I mean, you take, for example, there's the scene where, you know, Superman flies Lois Lane around the city. And when she goes back down into the building, Clark is sitting there eating burritos with the fiance and the son that he was just trying to take her away from a few minutes before. And he's got this big goofy smile on his face like, oh, Lois, I'm eating a burrito. And it's presented as a laugh in the film, like, oh, this will be funny. But it's really disgusting and creepy when you think that he's sitting there being all buddy-buddy with the family that he was just a few minutes ago
trying to
woo her away from. And at no point in the film does he take the time to stop and do the math about Jason's age. I mean, there's no regard whatsoever for, you know, the math would work out just about the right. No, surely not. You know, or, you know, or you've got the fact that, you know, he's talking to Lois on Clark is talking to Lois and he's like, well, gee, Lois, maybe Superman didn't say goodbye because it would have hurt too much. Well, what about how much it would have hurt her? I mean, everything with Superman is just so selfish and small-minded. And as you very eloquently pointed out in your article on Flickering Myth, you've got a great hero in that film in Richard White. Richard White is courageous, he is selfless. He turns his plane back around to fly back into the storm to go get Superman. I mean, the guy is completely selfless in the film.
I mean, he's
And
the hero.
he
He
really is.
flies off to find Lois. He goes. She wants him to go back to find Superman, so he goes back. He puts himself on the line to save them.
Yeah.
And he's a hero. He's the one, he lets her go and see Superman at the end, and he's, I'll be right here waiting for you. He's selfless and he's heroic.
It's incredible. I mean, if they would have announced that, the sequel to Superman Returns is just going to be a Richard White seaplane adventure, I probably would have gone to go see it. But then you also have, you've got Lois is just so casually cruel to Clark. And you watch that film and you think, was there ever a point that Lois even liked Clark? When if you go by Superman Returns, it's just like she, oh, Clark's back. Oh, hey, buddy. But half the time she just ignores him. Or I mean, it's just it's just heartbreaking. And I know that the airplane rescue is impressive, but at the same time, it's almost like, a heart surgeon does good heart surgery because that's his job. So for me, Superman catching an airplane, well, he'd better catch the airplane because he's Superman. The act of saving the airplane doesn't overcome all of the horrible, horrible things that I feel like he does over the course of that film. And I just think it's I don't think Bryan Singer was deliberately trying to make a Superman who has all of these, moral holes. I just don't think he thought it out enough. I think he just kind of approached the whole thing as, just kind of, he was just too casual with the way he presented it all. And I don't think he really sat down to think about the deeper implications of what am I really saying about this character here? And it was just, just the end result is just, it's just heartbreaking to think that it's almost like it's a $250 million fan film. It's like it's Bryan Singer's, fan fiction of, what his Superman 3 would have been, and he got the money to make it, and there you go. But whew.
I mean, we've talked about it before, and obviously, Josh had that article on what culture things we hope to see in Man of Steel, and I loved your comment at the end about the things that you were looking forward to, and we see Superman the same way. Is that he's the person you're supposed to be looking up to? Like you want to put a foot Superman film on for, if I ever have kids, you want to put a Superman film on, and you want them to look up to Superman, and to build their worldview around that. If you
Absolutely.
put Superman Returns on, you don't want them being like him,
Exactly.
because
Just
he'll be going down, his ex-girlfriend's house and peering through the window, and that's not cool.
No, not at all. Not at all. And and just no respect whatsoever. He doesn't, you don't tell Lois goodbye. You leave for 5 years and you come back with zero respect for the new family she's built in her absence. And it's so strange.
There's a like there's a couple of moments in that film as well when he's talking to Jimmy Olsen and he's finding out that Lex Luthor's free, and Jimmy's explaining that it's because Superman didn't testify, so Luthor got out, and he's like, well, how much do you think that pisses off Superman? And Clark's like, a lot. It's like, did Bryan Singer not realize what was going on there? Did he not listen to the script back when he was reading it? It's like, that makes no sense. You shouldn't have left. And then he, you should have stayed, seen the trial, and then gone. You've got nothing to complain about now.
I know, and the thing about it is too, if in Bryan Singer's mind, it was Bryan Singer's Richard Donner's Superman 3. But at the end of Superman 2, you have Superman telling the President of the United States, "I won't let you down again, sir."
Yeah.
But then we're supposed to believe that he immediately turns around and goes into space for 5 years without telling anyone. You know, I mean, it just the whole thing is just completely, it's so misguided and it's so poorly thought out that it's shocking. I just remember being completely shocked when I walked out of that film thinking, you know, and the thing is, you know, when you read the first press releases of the film, when the film was, you know, first being announced that Superman's gone for 5 years, Lois has a 5-year-old son. I mean, it was obvious from the press release that the kid was Superman's. I mean, it was just so obvious from the very beginning. And I was really upset that that was the storyline they're going to go with. But, and I'm not trying to talk, not talking about the first teaser, but the first full trailer was such a great trailer that I thought, you know what? I don't like this storyline, but the trailer looks like they're actually, you know, if this is the storyline we're stuck with, it looks like it's actually going to be pretty good. So I sort of let my guard down a little bit. But then when I actually saw the film, it was just like, no, not only was it just as bad as I thought it would be originally, it was even worse. It was somehow even worse. Shocking. Heartbreaking.
Yeah, that first trailer was pretty good. I mean, I didn't hate the film straight away. You know, I was blinded by love for the character at first because I just, you know, there's so a lot of it that I did enjoy. But yeah, there's so much I hated, but I so desperately wanted to enjoy it. I mean, I remember the build-up to that film. I was just ridiculously excited because it was the first Superman. The first Superman I got to experience the pre-production for the trailers and to see in the cinema. And yeah, and then over time that starts to wear off, and you realize that it was terrible.
yes. You know, when I bought the Blu-ray set of all of the Superman films, I thought, you know what? I'm going to give it another chance. Maybe now that, you know, some years have gone by, I can sit down and watch it again and maybe find some things to appreciate. And no, I just can't do it. I mean, he's even cruel to his dog. I think
I was just about to say that.
it may have been, you know, it's somebody had pointed that out that, you know, he's even, you know, the dog just wants to play catch and he's like, yeah, well, go catch this, mutt.
Do you know in Superman 3, when he, you know, the synthetic kryptonite that Richard Pryor's character creates, when Superman starts acting a jerk in that film, that's how he acts in Superman Returns. You know, he hits on a woman for his own selfish gains to the expense of everybody else.
Yes.
He blows out the Olympic torch, which is hilarious. He straights the Leaning Tower of Pisa, which those two things sort of equate to him picking up the ball and just throwing it, and the dog's like,
go catch it in California, buddy.
Awful. But, I mean,
yeah,
Man of Steel's shaping up so good. We've got something to look forward to. I've seen so many people as well criticize silly things. Obviously, there was the kryptonite issue, which isn't an issue. But the fortress, obviously, that looks like it's a spaceship.
Yes.
And I think that's, obviously, first of all, I've seen some people say this, you know, it's Nolan's realism's going too far and changing things for the sake of it. First of all, Goya knows the comic books. He knows the characters. Nolan knows a story. And nothing's ever just for the sake of it. Everything has a reason. Krypton looks massively different. It's not the icy crystal planet we've seen before.
Right.
So why would there be a fortress that is this crystalline structure? And we've, you know, there's precedent for a different type of fortress. It's been in the rainforest. It's been under the water. John Byrne in Man of Steel 1986. Clark Kent was the Fortress of Solitude. It was just a metaphor. So there is precedent for a different interpretation. And I like it. I like it a lot.
I love it. I think it's always nice to be able to do something fresh that keeps the spirit of whatever element you're changing. It keeps the spirit, but presents it in a way that's fresh and different and new. And, you know, I remember when it was first announced, I believe in a Hero Complex article, that Nolan and Goyer were working together on a new Superman film. Nolan's quote at the time was, you know, we know how to do it. You know, we've the superhero thing is our milieu. We know how to do it, and it's true. I mean, you know, and you look at that trailer, and it's just every line of dialogue is just it just seems like it's absolutely perfect. And I think, I mean, immediately when Lara says they'll kill him, and Jor-El says how, that immediately just hits you right in the gut, and you're thinking, wow, they're really going all the way here with just presenting how powerful and grand Superman can be. And I just love that line of how,
And that
you
line
know.
also, it's kind of terrifying as well when you think of Zod, because Zod's going to have exactly the
Yes.
same powers.
Yes, because Jor-El at the time, I'm sure, isn't thinking that Zod is going to be following his child to Earth. And you know, Michael Shannon is I loved, by the way, the Zod viral commercial.
Me too.
And you know, just Zod is wild with rage when he screams in the trailer, "I will find him." And you know, it's just man, I don't know. I just feel like
That line, yeah, he's so full of rage, but I love how he's still got his arms folded. He's not in a
yes,
wild,
yes, yes, yes.
out of control rage. He's full of rage, but he's still under control.
Yes, very yes, that's an excellent point. You know, I didn't even think of it that way, that he still has that military control, but he's just very so focused on the mission. And man, it's there's so many great possibilities of what I think we'll see. And I still think we haven't even gotten hardly a glimpse at all of how big I'm pretty sure the action in this film will be. And I think it's smart that they've sort of held that back from the trailer so far. I mean, there were so many people who said, oh, the teaser, the first trailer, they were just too boring. And to me, I thought they were great because they focused on the emotion behind the character. And now with this new trailer, they're sort of opening up the world a little bit more. And I love how, you know, the first part of his life is narrated by Jor-El, and then you've got the middle chunk narrated by Lois Lane, as if she's reading from a story that she's written about how she's followed this guy around who has helped people. And I think Lois is going to be a great window for the audience into the wonder and the awe of Superman. And Cavill is so charming in that scene at the end when he's at the table talking to Lois. You know, to see Superman with that, you know, that sort of that playful smile and the warmth and the smile. And you know, for all the people who said, oh, this is just going to be 2.5 hours of Superman moping around asking, where do I come from? Who am I? No way. You look at Cavill at the end of that trailer, the confidence and the charm. And I mean, that's what you want to see from Superman, and I think he's absolutely brilliant in those final moments there in the trailer.
And even before then, before he becomes Superman, you've got those shots. He's on the oil rig and he's holding up the girder, and his face when he's telling everyone to get out the way. I mean, it's gonna be an emotional story. He's gonna have some things to figure out, but he's still got that heroism inside him, that upbeat
Yes. Yes.
mentality. And there's a great shot that I love, and it's just before he's in the Superman suit, and he leaps away incredibly fast. Which made me
Yes.
think of leaping single buildings in a tall buildings in a single leap, but it's he's in just in a blue t-shirt, so it must be before he's Superman or
Yeah,
before he
yeah,
suits up.
yeah.
It's just that the wind's in his face, and he's saving some little kid, and he just it, I don't know. It's just like Bale to me. There's a look in his eyes, which you know that's great acting.
Well, you know, I think that to me was Batman Begins presented to me. It was my was the ultimate Batman to me, because they changed the mythology a little bit in Batman Begins to where, you know, Bruce Wayne actually sees his parents' murderer gunned down. So it's not like it's like, well, it's, you know, this is about revenge for what happened to my parents. He sees the murderer of his parents gunned down in front of him, but he chooses to become a hero anyway. In other words, it's not just about what happened to me, it's about making sure that it doesn't happen to someone else. It's about and it's not and it's not just about terrifying the bad guys, it's about inspiring the good people as well. And that, to me, I thought was something that had been missing from Batman for a long time, because I think a lot of Batman writers fall into a trap where they think, oh, we just have to make him dark and gritty. And Nolan found a way to make the character inspiring as well as, you know, as well as badass. And I think that that's a really great way to go for Superman, to really establish that hope and that inspirational side of it. And the fact that he, you know, tells Lois that the symbol stands for hope, that's a huge step in the right direction.
Yeah. And there's my favorite relationship, in all fictional stories, is between Clark and Jonathan. That comes from Smallville, because I feel ashamed, I can't remember the name who played Jonathan Kent.
John Schneider.
John Schneider, that's it. Mm-hmm. He played Jonathan so well, and I loved that dynamic between them. And it's just grown from there. And I remember when the second trailer came out, and everyone was like, Clark said, should I just let them die? And Jonathan's, well, maybe. And you can see his body language, he's not happy with that. And then this trailer comes out, and he's just so supportive, you know. Mm-hmm. That line when he says, you are my son, I mean, that's still on 100th rewatch of the trailer, just still gets me. And
The
rest of what he says, he's just, you know, he's so supportive. You've got to find out why you're here. You're here for a reason. And it's, yeah, it looks like they're going to get that relationship completely right.
It's amazing. And, you know, I love that line from the previous trailer where Jonathan says maybe, because obviously Jonathan Kent doesn't want Clark to allow people to die. But as a father, you know that Jonathan has to know that if Clark goes out and starts helping people, the world isn't just going to automatically throw up its hands and say, oh, yeah, that's awesome. The world isn't ready. There are going to be people who want to capture him and slice him into a million little pieces to figure out what makes him work. And as a father, Jonathan knows that, you know, it's wonderful that my son wants to go out and help the world, but there are always going to be those people who are going to want to chop him up into tiny pieces and take him apart and see what makes him tick. And, you know, I just thought that was a wonderful emotional angle to take it, you know, in that first trailer. But, you know, to really see that, you know, Jonathan Kent ultimately knows that, you know, this is – Clark has these gifts. This is what he has to do. But no matter what, he's always going to, you know, you are my son. That's just such a beautiful line. And Costner just sells it so well. I mean, Kevin Costner is one of is an actor who, to me, just really presents this sort of Americana, you know, Midwest down home American roots type of performance that he gives in so many films. And I think that's just a great way to ground that character and to have Clark, you know, that's the example that Clark has seen for a father. It's just you're right. I mean, I totally agree. It's also one of my favorite relationships in the Superman mythology, and for all the things that, you know, Smallville did questionably, that bond between John Schneider and Tom Welling was always just this amazing father son bond. I could just never get enough of it. So yeah, I totally agree with you there, Martin. I think that relationship looks like it's just going to be absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, it does look good. Everything's shaping up brilliantly. And this engineered Kal-El angle, mm-hmm. I mean, I really like that. It's like he's a member of Earth, but he's not one of us. And he's a member of Krypton, but he's not one of them. So who is he? And that, again, that's going to come down to the Kents and who they raise him to be. And I love that. It's the humanity that they give him and those morals and everything that they instill into him. That's who he is. And then he'll grow into one of us. And I love that.
I do too. I do too. And you have said all along, and I really like the thought of this, that, you know, what if at the beginning Zod is a mentor instead of an enemy? I'm not sure, you know, maybe the new trailer sort of suggests that Zod's coming to kill or capture him from the beginning.
Yeah.
But I do like the idea of there sort of being that mentor sort of side. Can you imagine, you know, you're Clark Kent. You have lived your entire life not understanding who you are, not understanding what you are, wondering where you came from, and finally people from your home planet arrive, but they arrive with the intent to murder and conquer. And that's got to just throw you into, you know, think, you know, is this what I am? Is this what my people are? Is this what I'm here for? And making that decision to say, you know what, I have the same powers and abilities as these guys, but instead of wanting to conquer, I want to help. I want to inspire. And it's that choice. And that's why I like, you know, in the Nolan Batman films, again, you were really presented. It's presented in a way that you feel like it's a choice. Bruce Wayne has the money and the resources to do whatever he wants to do, but he chooses to do something that will help and inspire. And I really think that we're going to get kind of the same thing here, that, you know, Clark could do anything he wanted with these abilities, but his choice, because of the way he was raised, his choice is to use these abilities to help.
Yeah, there's a great line that comes from Lois in the trailer when she said, you know, for some he was a guardian angel.
Yes, yes.
And that line is delivered on the oil rig, and that's a great line. It's a great image, and I think probably he's going to be traveling the world. He's probably not going to be setting out to be this hero on a daily basis, but everywhere he turns, he can't help but get involved, and
he
then
can't help it.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Just the same as the school bus that goes into the water, and he's got to help.
Well, you know, and too, you can kind of tell by the tone. You know, the woman who says, "I saw what Clark did." The tone isn't, "Oh, you know, thank you for Clark saving my child's life." It's almost like it's accusatory, like, what the hell's wrong with your freak son? You know, it's, you know, and it's, and I'm sure that sort of forms Jonathan's opinion of, you know, how is the world going to react to my boy, you know? And it's just going to be such a great emotional angle in the film. I think I'm really, 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 really excited about it. I can't remember the last time I was this excited about a film. I mean, with going into Batman Begins, I think everyone was sort of cautious because the previous Batman films had been so terrible that, you know, we were like, oh, I don't know, you know, it looks good, but we've been burned before. Of course, it was wonderful. Then with The Dark Knight, I was just so confident that, hey, they got Batman Begins so right that I'm not worried at all about The Dark Knight. But with Man of Steel, it's just this excitement where I feel like I'm a kid again. You know, I feel like I was born in 1975, so just a few years before the first Christopher Reeve film came out. And I remember running around the house in, you know, Superman underoos with a towel pinned around my neck, and, you know, just wanting to be Superman. And you know, this film just kind of this trailer just gives me that same giddy excitement of, you know, not only does Superman look fantastic, but you can tell that the story and the emotion behind it are going to match the character, and that's a very exciting place to be going into this film.
Yeah, I feel exactly the same way. I can't remember the last time I was this excited for a film, and I guess I found out that I probably am a bigger Superman fan. You know, I love Batman. I've been, you know, the trilogy was amazing, but I don't know. There's something about this film and about Superman, which is just, I don't know. I mean, overdrive. It's ridiculous. And I just, yeah, I, there was something I did want to mention, and I can't remember what it was. You lost me in that sort of childlike excitement.
That's good. That's good. It's good to be, I think it's good to be able to be that excited about something. And you know, and too, kind of going back to the Jonathan Kent angle, you know, my father was raised on the farm. My father is the hardest working man I've ever known in my life. If I turn out to be half the man that my father is, I'll be happy. And he always sort of reminded me of Jonathan Kent, you know, and I think that's another one of the reasons I respond so much to that relationship. And, you know, I have one of my favorite movies is The Count of Monte Cristo. which Henry Cavill is in. And at a very young age, Cavill was able to really hold his own in scenes with Guy Pearce and James Caviezel, who are both, very, very accomplished actors. And Cavill, I thought, really held his own in that film. He had to have been a teenager at the time. So when Cavill was cast originally, I was really excited about it just because I had been familiar with his work in that film. And I think Cavill's look is, it's equal parts regal and rugged. He looks manly, but he also sort of has this sort of like princely kind of air about him. And I think, there's just something that's just, Superman should be, sort of majestic, but also approachable. In other words, when he's around you, you just feel better, and you don't feel intimidated by him. It's just like he just has this warmth that just kind of brings out the best in people. And that was something that I think Christopher Reeve really tapped into. And it was cool to me too, because the first image that was released from the film was, Superman, where he had been, looked like knocked into the bank vault, and he's in this pose where he's just about to spring into action, and he has this determined look on his face. I mean, you remember the very first image that was released of Brandon Routh in Superman Returns, where he
Yes,
was just
his
like,
hands on his hips, yeah.
and he just looked, it looked like he was pose, it looked like a picture from like a catalog for superhero costumes. I mean, there was just no, and it's not Brandon Routh's fault, because you and I both agree that, the problem with Superman Returns certainly wasn't Brandon Routh. Brandon Routh did exactly what that screenplay asked of him. It's just that the things it asked him to do were terrible. And but he, I always felt bad for Routh, because you could tell that Routh was proud to have played Superman, and grateful for the opportunity. And I think that, for what the script asked him to do, I thought Routh was fantastic. I always felt bad for him, that, I wish he had gotten the chance to really be Superman instead of what, the sorry excuse for the character that film presented. But, Cavill is just, he's a really talented guy, and I think that, I really think that clip at the end with Lois, when they're in the interrogation room, goes a long way towards showing not only the amazing chemistry between Amy Adams and Henry Cavill, but just sort of where they're going with the character. The fact that Superman smiles, he smiles, and he's just very charming. And I think that's fantastic. I read Amy Adams did an interview with MTV where she was talking about, that Cavill was just, he was so nice and such a good looking guy. She said every time I would look into his eyes, I would just start giggling. And you can tell, I mean, you can kind of see that, you can kind of see that chemistry, I think, between them there in the interrogation scene. So that's good. It's important to me that there's a good Lois and Superman relationship in the film, because that's something that's sorely lacking in DC's New 52 comics. And it's another one of the things that I actually thought Smallville did very well. Erica Durance was amazing as Lois Lane. And especially in the last couple of seasons of Smallville, she was always so supportive of Clark, and just really there for him. And just the way she looked at him, it was just like, wow, she really, really, really loves him. And I really hope that we can build toward a relationship that has that kind of chemistry between Amy Adams and Henry Cavill. I think they will.
Yeah, I mean, Smallville, they did get that. That was, they've got that relationship dynamic really well. And one of the things I was talking about with Man of Steel is that relationship between Lois and Superman. And Superman, I love Superman 1, I love Superman 2, but it does feel, especially in Superman 2, with one of the lines that Lois delivers when Superman loses his powers, is, she wants the man she fell in love with. And it's like, well, she just loves him because he's strong. Is that, because he can.
Exactly.
Whereas, especially in the Man of Steel, we're seeing that's going to be completely different already with Lois investigating this man who's going around and saving people. And that relationship, it should be Lois is an investigative journalist. She wants to change the world. Superman wants to change the world. There should be that mutual respect which grows into to love. She's in awe of this man who's doing these great things, not because he can lift heavy things.
Exactly. And you have to believe with Lois too that this is the woman that Superman would fall for. I mean, he can fly, he can do all of these amazing feats, But you have to make the audience believe that there is a reason that this woman is the person who would inspire him. This is the woman who would, you know, who would make his heart flutter. And I think it was a very smart move to cast an actress like Amy Adams in the role. I mean, a lot of the names they had thrown around early on, when, you know, there were rumors about who was involved in the casting process, none of those names really excited me at all. And I think that, you know, if this were, like, for example, a Michael Bay film, and again, I mean, no offense to Michael Bay, because, you know, the films Michael Bay makes are, you know, they are what they are, and I, you know, that's fine. But if Michael Bay had made this film, they would have cast a woman who looked like a walking Jim Lee drawing, but probably couldn't act.
Yeah.
You know, whereas here they went with, you know, with Amy Adams. And I remember at the time people were like, oh, that's not going to work because she has red hair. And I'm thinking, are you kidding? I was like, are you kidding me? She has been nominated for every major acting award on the planet. She played a Disney princess in Enchanted, but then she plays this rough and tumble bartender in The Fighter. I mean, she has so much range. She's so talented and she's so beautiful. How can anybody have a problem with a talented, massively talented, outrageously gorgeous woman as Lois Lane? I just don't understand how anybody can have a problem with that. But she's so great in the trailer. And as you had pointed out, you know, when she's talking about how he's a guardian angel and everything else, I mean, it's just, you get the same type of chills as you do at the end of The Dark Knight when Gordon is describing Batman to his son.
Yeah.
The watchful protector, the silent guardian, the Dark Knight. And you just sort of feel that same sense of awe from Lois toward Superman. But not because of the things he can do, but because of who he is. And there's a difference there, and that's the difference that you had pointed out in Superman 2, where it's, you know, it seemed where it was sort of the opposite.
Yeah.
So this is shaping up to be something really, really, really special.
It is, yeah. And I want to sort of go back to what we were saying about Zod and mm-hmm. them sort of being friends, because my sort of feelings on that came from what Michael Shannon had said about he just wants Superman to be patriotic.
Yes.
And then the viral sort of changed all that, and then we get this trailer where he's obviously threatening Jor-El, saying, you know, I will find him. So I'm wondering if that viral is, that's something like similar is going to play out in the film, or if he's just sort of going to, that's just a viral, and sort of Zod will maybe calm down in the years it takes to get to Earth, and then maybe approach Superman a little differently.
It's really hard to say, because, you know, originally.
But that's the great thing, isn't it? We don't.
I mean, all along, and you have said on Twitter all along, and I've always agreed with it, that you always thought that there was going to be that sort of mentor dynamic with Zod, and I thought, wow, that would be a really cool way to go. And but yeah, it's difficult to tell the way the viral presents itself, that, you know, you said it very well. It's like we don't know. Is this something that's just being done for the sake of the viral, or is it something that actually plays out in the film? We don't know. But it's kind of exciting going into this not knowing.
It's exactly like The Dark Knight. You know, we all thought we knew where that story was going, and in reality, we just didn't have a clue.
No clue whatsoever.
And that's what Nolan. I mean, it's great to speculate, and it's great to have a theory, and it's even better to be completely wrong with that theory.
Right.
And that comes from Nolan and Goyer. I mean, the way that they're able to write their stories, the way they set them up. You know, they give us these little hints of, you know, we go in one direction and then it'll just go in completely the other direction.
Yeah.
I mean, there's such talented writers, and, you know, for Batman and then for Superman as well. I mean, that's, we're ridiculously blessed.
Yes, we are. We really are. And, you know, and again, I mean, you look at the cast in this thing. I mean, you know, Russell Crowe, Kevin Costner, Diane Lane, Lawrence Fishburne, Amy Adams, Michael Shannon. And again, Michael Shannon is another situation where, you know, that's not stunt casting at all. That's looking for a guy who is known not as in they didn't go for a name for Zod. They went for an actor. They went for someone who can pull off an incredible performance. And, you know, and again, going back to the, you know, sort of the, and again, I'm not trashing Michael Bay at all, but it just seems like if Michael Bay had cast this film, we would have gotten The Rock as
yes.
Zod. You know, in other words, it's just, you know, let's just somebody who's like huge and whatever. And, but they didn't, they went for Michael Shannon, who is known for his performances. And it just makes me happy to think that, you know, they're not necessarily going for names for all of these roles. They're going for actors, they're going performers. And, you know, Michael Shannon has been very, he's been hilarious. Some of the press that he's done for the movie along the way, talking about, you know, he's so frank. I mean, he'll just say exactly what's on his mind. And he talks about how silly the costumes are and how, you know, silly it is to do the, you know, acting against CGI things that you can't even see. So, you know, that when he says something, he means it. And when he talks about Cavill, he's like, this guy comes in and he works so hard. And when you're doing a scene with him, you feel like you're not doing a scene with a guy who's standing there pretending to be Superman. You feel like you're in a scene with Superman. And that really, that's really exciting to me, that a guy as accomplished as Shannon is, you know, doesn't think that, you know, truly respects what Cavill's doing and thinks he's doing such a great job. And that really excites me. Cause I can guarantee you this, based on some of the other comments that Michael Shannon has made about the silliness of the, you know, of the costumes or things like that, if he didn't think Cavill was fantastic, he wouldn't sugarcoat it.
No, he's never been that way.
He's never been that kind of guy. But when, you know, when you get his, you hear these things that he says about Cavill, that's really impressive. And he says the same thing too about Zack Snyder, about how, you know, Snyder is just a very casual guy. You know, Nolan always shows up at the movie set, you know, in his suit and his vest, and he's all business. And he said with, you know, Snyder's in, you know, a t-shirt, and he's nice to everybody, but not to the point where no one respects his authority, that people want to work hard for Zack Snyder because he is such a nice guy. And I just, you know, Snyder just has this great visual flair, and I'm just really excited to see what happens when you take that visual flair and marry it to a story that was crafted by Goyer and Nolan. And I think we're in for something that's going to be really, really, really special, because Batman doesn't require, you know, massive planet shattering action. Superman does. And I think that, you know, if you're going to have somebody who can deliver that kind of action, it's Snyder. So I think it's really, it's just really, it's so exciting to even think about it.
Yeah.
Because there's still so much about this that we don't know. We're going to be so surprised, and very pleasantly so, I think, when we get to the theater.
I mean, this trailer did a lot for raising the profile of this film. I mean, I mentioned earlier that, you know, I still hear people saying, you know, Nolan's realism has gone too far. But one of the things that this trailer did is a lot of people seem to be saying, okay, maybe Zack Snyder's got it right now.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the doubters who said, oh, just, you know, be Superman in slow-mo and all those other kind of things. Now, with this trailer, I saw a lot of people who were saying those kind of comments. The tide was turning a little bit.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's going to turn a lot. And, you know, how much slow motion do you see in that trailer? None. You know, I mean, you know, and how much of, I don't know, because on one hand, you've got this huge action, but then all of the stuff that in Smallville, the shots of the butterfly and the spider web, the little boy, and again, the little boy with the cape.
Yeah.
In the trailer, is that Clark as a little boy, or is it at the end of the film where, you know, they're showing, you know, like a child has been inspired by Superman? And what's exactly.
I've said that since the first teaser, that's got to be a kid at the end. It's got to be a kid at the end.
It's got to be. It's got to be.
You know, Superman's a hope. They've said Superman's the beacon of hope in this film.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, that's going to be some little kid at the end. He's like, Superman. He's, goes outside and he puts on a red tea towel or whatever it is, and he's like you, John, and, you know.
Yeah, like you said, that was me at that age. And running around, and I would like I would put one I would ball up both of my fists, and I would put one fist by my hip and then raise the other one up in the air, just like the flying pose of Christopher Reeve. And I would run around the house all day long with that towel around my neck, and I was Superman. And I think that I hope that when kids walk out of the movie theater from seeing this film, that they want to do the same thing. And I think that this is the movie that's going to make Superman cool again. And I don't think that there's ever been a time where Superman stopped being relevant. I do think there are times when no one has known what really to do with the character.
Yeah.
And this film looks like it's like we figured it out, and the trailer is a very confident statement of how well they have figured it out. And as I said before earlier, that I don't think I've ever seen a trailer that looks so well crafted. In other words, just the way everything is set with the music, and it's really almost like a little movie in a way, in the sense that it's just crafted so well. And you can really tell that they spent a lot of time putting the trailer together. And massive congratulations to whoever. I don't know if Snyder cut that together himself or if the other people were involved, but I gotta tell you, I can't stop watching it.
No, me either. I mean, Rises was the same. That was the third trailer was an excellent trailer. That was again really well crafted.
Really well.
And Warner Brothers, For sort of all the stick we give Warner Brothers over the DC properties, for Batman and Superman, they really know how to sell these films. The viral marketing is just incredible. The way they involve the fans, and obviously I'm in the UK, so I didn't find out until a couple of days later that Zod viral actually played on TV.
Yeah,
that's incredible. But there's nothing really there at first. You've got to really be paying attention and watch it again to understand that it's for Superman, but you'll be seeking that out.
Exactly, and that's good. And they really need to do that. They really need to to let people know that, hey, and I hear this all the time. It's just like oh, what movies are you looking forward to this year? I'm like, well, Man of Steel. Like, I'm not really that big on Superman. It's just like, well, watch this trailer and you will be.
Yeah.
And I've heard so many people say that. It's just, I like on my own Twitter, I've seen people, tweet this. It's like, man, I'm not really a Superman person, but that new trailer looks amazing.
Best friend did that. One of my best friends tweeted it and said, I don't really like Superman, but that trailer was incredible.
Yeah. And it's so exciting to see those kinds of reactions and see that this trailer is sort of changing people's perceptions of what the character can be and how cool he can be. And it's just really exciting stuff, man. It's just it's a good feeling.
Yeah. One of the things we haven't seen yet, and going back to the kid at the end, I think this is going to come at the end of the film as well, is Daily Planet Clark. I think that's not going to come right until the very end.
I agree with you. And wouldn't it be cool if at the end of the film, and I'm totally for this, I would love it if at the end of the film they just totally skip over the silliness of Clark and Lois working together and Lois not knowing. That if they just say, you know what, Lois knows and Clark Kent, the reporter persona, is something that she actually helps him create.
I'd love that. I want to see her know. We need that on film.
Yeah, because it just, there's... And I'm willing to suspend a lot of disbelief for Superman, and I'm willing to go along with, Clark. Clark puts on his glasses. And have you read Superman Birthright?
I love that story.
That's fantastic. I've been rereading that again this week after having seen the trailer, and I love the way, Martha Kent sort of helps Clark. In other words, okay, you're going to wear a jacket that's two sizes too big, and you're going to slouch. So that it makes Clark, it does make him look sort of, you don't look at this guy and think, wow, this guy is a man of steel underneath the suit. It's just the subtle things he does with his posture and everything else that that sort of kind of makes you overlook him. And I think that, you know, there's a way to do that that's believable, but I also think that it's going to be ridiculous for just the whole thing of Lois not knowing.
Especially if she's going to be investigating him. If they're really going to sell her as this great reporter, you're not going to be able to pull the wool over her eyes with a pair of glasses and a big jacket.
Yeah, and why drag out the whole silliness of, you know, when is she going to figure it out? I just think it's a lot more interesting if she helps him sort of create that reporter persona,
and then helps him get the job.
Yeah, I mean that would be really awesome if it ends in that way. And I've also thought I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. That what if, to me, I think the perfect final line of the movie is, "What do you think?" I love that, you know, when he's saying, you know, my father thought the world, you know, the world wasn't ready yet. What do you think? To me, I thought that sounds to me like it's a line that would be between Clark and Lois, or Superman and Lois, and that would be like the very last line of the film.
I saw that. Yeah, I saw that when I was speaking to Josh, or maybe it was in his article, and I was kind of. I thought, yes, definitely, maybe that's a big possibility. But then the trailer sort of changed that because Lois is the one who interviews him, which presumably sort of comes halfway or three quarters into the film, or, you know.
Yes, true.
So
true.
Maybe that sort of changed my feeling on that, because if there was sort of maybe a time he was going to say it, it would be then.
No, I agree. And it's exciting, too, that, you know, as we said all the way through this podcast, that the trailer really does change everything, that everything you thought you knew about what this film might be is now completely in question in a good way, because you're thinking it just, everything is presented so powerfully. You're thinking, wow, this is, you know, I went into this thinking this movie was going to be great. And now I think it's going to be, you know, biblical. You know, I mean, it's like they've skipped epic. They skipped epic and went straight to biblical for this final trailer. So
I want to quickly say before I get onto it, we're talking about Birthright and the way you went from slouched to standing up straight. Christopher Reeve did that just amazingly in that scene in Lois's apartment.
So well.
And he so wants to tell her, but then, you know, he knows he can't, and then he puts the glasses back, and I'm gonna have to watch it. It's so good. And I've been sort of getting a little bit ahead of myself, but and I know that Noel and Goya, they work one story at a time, they put everything in. But I think there's something a little bit different about this. And the Kryptonian armor, is that not just perfect for Lex to create his power suit?
You know, I never thought of that, but that's pretty brilliant. That's really, really brilliant. Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be there.
Yeah. I mean, can you imagine if the military is like, okay, Zod's been defeated, but we have this equipment that he left behind. Who is smart enough to study it? Well, Lex Luthor, obviously. So yeah, that's brilliant, Martin. I didn't even think about that as a possibility, but that's genius.
Well, there's a shot in the trailer where it's obviously of Zod, but it sort of looks like Lex in a power suit, because it's sort of blurry.
Yeah.
And I thought it was like, okay, maybe, you know, further down the line, if we get that far, you know, maybe the third film, just for Lex and Superman going mano-a-mano, and just, you know, you see you finally get to see the true hatred of Lex, and he just pounds into Superman. That'd be quite a visual.
That'd be fantastic. I really hope they do a nice job with Lex in the sequels to this, because, you know, the Gene Hackman version of Lex, where he's just basically a, you know, a psychotic land developer kind of. I mean, and Gene Hackman was great, and Kevin Spacey was great. Kevin Spacey was fantastic.
I think, but a bit like Brandon Routh, again, he was sort of changed with the way that the character was written.
Exactly. And, you know, I would love to see Lex.
He does get a terrifying line. You know, it's so cold and sinister when he shanks him with the kryptonite and says, "Now fly."
Yeah, that's fantastic. And, you know, I also do one of the only moments in Superman Returns where I was like, wow, that's great, is when Lex is waving around a piece of kryptonite, and Lois hugs Jason closer, and Lex immediately picks up on it and says, "Who is this boy's father?" You know, he just immediately picks up on that little that just, you know, the slightest little hug sort of that she gives Jason, pulls him closer, and he's like, "Who is this boy's father?" He just immediately catches it, and I really want to see a Lex who, I mean, to me, the perfect introduction for Lex Luthor would be, you know, Lex calls a board meeting at his company, and instead of it happening around, you know, a big meeting table, the board members are ushered into a laboratory where Lex is like doing some sort of hands-on experiment or something, where you automatically establish that not only is he a corporate business genius, but that also he's a scientific genius, and that for Lex it's a matter of I worked hard to achieve what I consider human perfection, scientific perfection, physical perfection. But then this guy, Superman, comes along and he has all of these things just without even having to work for it. And that's kind of what drives Lex of, you know, it's you know, why are we looking to him as an ideal when he is automatically this way? Why aren't we as human beings trying to strive for something better as humans? And I think that's part of what should drive Lex to have this jealousy of Superman and ultimately a hatred for him rather than just, oh, he keeps foiling my, you know, giant land schemes or something like that, you know.
I need his crystals.
Exactly. And there needs to be more to it. So
In Birthright, I love the little old lady who is really grumpy and horrible to a stranger she bumps into in the street. They all go to Lex and look up to him, and he gives them a gift each day. And then she's, you know, this little old lady is really grumpy and miserable. And then Superman comes along and she bumps into someone else, and she's like, "That's okay. You know, we look up in the sky here for hope now." And that's I love that. And Lex, you know, Lex in that, I like that. There's a cool little Easter egg for fans in the trailer, isn't there, with the LexCorp that's red, white, and blue.
Yes.
You know, Mr. President Luthor.
Yes, Mr. American Way.
What do you I've seen some rumors. What do you think of the rumors that Lex is gonna be? I mean, you think they'd get a big name for this?
You really do. I mean, you know, Ain't It Cool News had posted that, you know, this Mackenzie Gray, who had played a clone of Lex in an episode of Smallville, is going to be Lex in the film. And I feel like it's just one of these things where Mackenzie Gray is one of these, you know, Vancouver actors who's in everything. And he's probably playing, like, you know, Soldier Number 4 or something like that in Man of Steel. But I think I think they're making this leap that, oh, if this guy is on the cast list and he played a clone of Lex Luthor on Smallville, then obviously he's playing Lex Luthor in Man of Steel. And I just think that's, I mean, no offense to the source, but I just think it's a ridiculous jump.
And they found that video where he said, I can't say who I'm playing, but that was like, it wasn't like an official thing. He was probably just
saying that. And there are lots of people who have I've seen lots of little bits and pieces where people are asked, people who are in Man of Steel have been asked, "Well, who do you play?" Well, I'm not supposed to say. I mean, that's what comes with doing a film where Christopher Nolan is your producer. Yeah. and there's a lot of secrecy that it's just I don't know, it's they're reading way too much into something that's nothing. And I agree with you. If there is going to be some sort of Lex Luthor presence in Man of Steel, it's going to be a name.
Yeah.
It's going to be a name. And I just...
There's going to be so much going on as well.
Yeah, and it's...
It seems like, you know, obviously, you know, we sort of think we know what's going to happen in the story, but, you know, there's going to be that alien invasion. There's not really going to be time for Lex to sort of appear. But then that's perfectly set up for any sequel for him to really step up his operation against these alien invaders. And to hate.
Well, you know, and I feel like Goyer really did it perfectly in Batman Begins with, you know, the Joker card.
Yeah.
You know, we're in other words, we don't have time to get into the Joker in this film, but it's something that everybody expects at some point, and they did such a great job of teasing it. And I really think that they'll probably find a way to do something similar in Man of Steel, where I don't expect Lex Luthor to be a factor in the story whatsoever, but I do think he's something that's going to be teased for future films.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that will be cool to see how they come up with it. But yeah, it's just something that I'm just one of those things that I'm just really not concerned with at all, because if anybody knows how to do this kind of thing, it's Nolan and Goyer.
Yeah, exactly. And I hope that, you know, they sort of stick around and are involved in the next one, because it would be a shame if certain parties walked away.
I really hope so. I mean, we've already had Snyder saying in a couple of interviews recently that, you know, he really hopes that they can keep moving forward. And I think that if you're Warner Brothers, you need to look at the reaction that this trailer has received.
Yeah.
I mean, even sites that aren't movie news sites, like, for example, okay, I am a huge fan of Bigfoot lore. Ever since I was a little kid, I would always check books out of the library about UFOs and ghosts and the Loch Ness Monster and Bigfoot. I've always been interested in that kind of thing. There's a Bigfoot blog that I read that posted the Man of Steel trailer. In other words, it was just like, oh man, this trailer is so amazing. And just, you know, it was just like, that's awesome. And then, you know, lots of, you know, you do a Google search for Man of Steel trailer, and it pops up on like movie news, like not even movie news sites, but like celebrity gossip sites, you know, that are just like, oh, this new Superman trailer looks amazing. It's just, it's getting a reaction outside of, you know, the usual suspects of, you know, the usual movie news sites. It's getting a reaction from all over, and rightfully so.
I mean, no disrespect to Marvel, but, you know, it's Superman. It's Superman, you know, and Batman was the same. It's Superman and Batman, and they don't come any bigger.
They don't. And it's funny just how immediately you forget. And, you know, I love Marvel's films. I am super excited about about Iron Man 3 and Thor 2 this year. I can't wait for those films. But you watch the Man of Steel trailer, and it's just like, I can't even fathom anything else existing right now. This is it. This is the one. And again,
no disrespect to Marvel, but again, that's what you get from people like Nolan and Goyer, and that realism, the way they do it, because mm-hmm. you know, it's going to be a proper deep film. It's going to be something to chew on. It's going to make you think, but it's also going to entertain you. And, you know, I'd take that realism all day, all the time.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's, you know, and again, it just kind of goes back to what Nolan had said in that first article in Hero Complex, when they announced that this was going to happen. He was just like, you know, we know how to do it. And you think, you know, and then you look at his films, and you think, yep, he sure does, you know, so. Yes, sir, you do.
Yeah.
So we are happy to be along for that ride, that's for sure.
And defend me here, John. It's a really terrible film. Really, you know, as a film, it's terrible. But Quest for Peace, there's a lot of great Superman moments in that.
Its heart is in the right place. I totally agree with you. It's, you know, have you read the book Superman versus Hollywood?
No.
I highly recommend that. It's a book about all of the live action Superman projects from the beginning, and all of the behind the scenes turmoil, and, you know, it has a lot of, you know, a lot of the reasons about, you know, the falling out between Donner and the Salkins around the time of Superman 2. And it's a fascinating book, and a lot of the behind the scenes things that happened on Superman The Quest for Peace, where they actually, I think had a pretty good story in mind, but on almost a daily basis, things were happening where it was like, oh, we've slashed the budget by, 50%. And that happened 3 or 4 times. And it's just one of those things where it's a miracle that the movie was made in the first place, but its heart really is in the right place, regardless of how, the final product may have turned out for reasons that were above and beyond the control of Christopher Reeve, obviously. I love that scene where Lois comes to Clark's apartment when he's ill and she's sort of saying things to him. It's like you can tell she's talking to Superman and she knows, but doesn't actually come out and say it. I mean, they're just great scenes there. And you're right. I mean, it's just that movie has a lot of heart, regardless of how well it turned out.
Yeah, and
it's certainly better than Superman Returns.
I say, yeah, I mean, I say I've been saying that a lot, and people are like, but it's terrible. Yeah, but the film is terrible. As a Superman film, it's a lot better.
Yes, it is.
It's a character you can be proud to say, okay, that's Superman.
And, absolutely, absolutely.
And just reading the way Reeve talked about that film as well, he felt he had a chance to get an important message across, and what bigger stage and more appropriate than as Superman.
Absolutely.
And I also love the things he said about Clark, the way Clark sort of comes into his own in that movie, and then he's accepting himself as a member of Earth, and that's when he steps up and gets involved in removing the nukes. And yeah, I had so much love for that character. And
absolutely. Was,
amazing.
And when you hear that, you think, how can you hold this movie accountable to, the budgetary constraints and the business decisions that were being made behind the scenes on a daily basis? That's what sort of hobbles the film. But as far as the heart of the movie and the heart of Superman, it's impossible to. It's just possible to deny that film on those grounds, because it's very special in its own way.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm glad you agree.
No, I do. I mean, when I sat down to watch them all to do that article, I found myself really enjoying it, just because I could watch it and I wasn't like sort of despised at the things he was doing. It wasn't a great film, but any moment with Christopher Reeve in those four films is just endlessly watchable.
Oh yeah, just absolutely, absolutely magical. And he really understood, how to bring that character to life and how to make him just, again, it's just. You look at his Superman and you see someone who's obviously very powerful, but also very approachable and just has this true warmth and love for humanity. And, I just really, really like that a lot. And, hopefully we'll get to see that same sort of reverence that he has for humanity in Man of Steel. And I think we will, because as you've said all along, it comes back to the people who are involved, and it's Goyer and it's Nolan and it's, Zack Snyder seems like he's in any interview you see that guy and he just seems so, so nice and down to earth. And I think it's a really perfect combination of talent behind the camera. So
yeah, I hope it's a redemption for Superman and for Snyder, hopefully. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I really can't wait.
Yeah, and even I know Sucker Punch has a lot of detractors, and I think that Sucker Punch is kind of a noble failure. I think that I understand what Snyder was trying to do with the movie, and I understand what he was trying to say. I just don't think it was strong enough at the script level to go all the way with what he was trying to do with it. That's not going to be the case with Man of Steel, And I think all along people were like, oh, I didn't like Sucker Punch, so that means that, Man of Steel is going to be terrible. Well, no, it doesn't mean that at all. I mean, it's you have a guy who's an extremely talented director with an incredible visual sense, an incredible sense for action and scale. But you have a story that's written by, you know, two of the guys who have written just the absolute best of the best superhero films that we've gotten so far. So what is there to be concerned about? What is there here that's not to like?
Yeah, exactly.
And so yeah, it's
there's petty pretty... things to not like, but you know.
Exactly. Yeah, you can pick anything apart for pettiness, but this is just something I think that's above reproach.
And I loved this sort of CGI on Krypton. It looks like a, you know, we know that no one sort of loves Blade Runner, and
yeah,
it just feels like that, you know. And I mean, not as dark and the same, but it's that really futuristic CGI sort of world. And it's going to be so much. And I'm going to have to see this film in 2D. I'm going to have to hunt it down because, like you say, the cinematography looks gorgeous, and
it really does. It really does.
By 3D.
I was heartbroken. I saw your tweets yesterday about how difficult it is to find Iron Man 3 in a 2D showing. I just can't believe that.
Yeah, it's terrible. I mean, yeah, and it's been the space of a week. There's 47 showings, and 7 are in 2D, and they're mostly during the day next Thursday.
Yeah, yeah.
They're really pushing it, aren't they? Which is a shame.
It is a shame. It is a shame, and I think. You know, I think Man of Steel will best be seen, obviously, in 2D when you have imagery that's looks like it was shot as beautifully as Hal Snyder shot it. That, you know, you want to see it as purely as you can. And 3D is the opposite of pure when it comes to. It's like, look at all this crazy stuff we did with a computer, on top of. On top of the beautiful footage that this man shot, you know, it's just, yeah. No thanks.
Not at all. It's horrible. It's horrible. Go away. Well, I think that just about wraps us up, really, doesn't it? We've really gone into that.
Yeah, I think so, and I think it's you know, I just think it's you know, if anything, you know, I hope that people listen to this and come away with how excited we are for this movie, and I hope everybody out there is excited too, because it's very rare to see a trailer that's this. I mean, it has everything. It has action, it has heart, and it just does an incredible job of sort of, you know, Snyder has said from the beginning that he wanted this film to feel like, you know, this was the first Superman movie ever made. You know, that this is as we're treating it as if no Superman movie has ever been made before. And I think that I think it comes across extremely well in this trailer. It's an incredible statement of the trailer is an incredible statement of purpose, and just a really great representation of what Superman can be for a new generation.
Yeah, the one Superman book they should read before June 14th.
Woo, man, that's tough. I would recommend. I think I would recommend All Star and Birthright.
Yeah, I'd go with the same. I love that quote that we've had in two trailers now.
It's been a long time since I've read Secret Origin, so I would have to think. I would have to read that one again before I would say definitely go out and buy that one. But All Star and Birthright, I think, are great great starting points.
Right. Brilliant. Well, thanks very much for joining me, John.
Thank you very much for having me, Martin. I appreciate it and had a ton of fun, and we'll have to do this again.
Definitely. A big thanks there to John Bearley, and you can follow him on Twitter @JohnBearley, and he contributes to Modern Myth Media, which is a podcast I recommend to you all. Thanks for listening.